Good morning. Happy Sabbath. We're going to read scripture today, Matthew chapter 13, verse 52. And it's in your pew Bibles on page 863. Then he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out his treasure things new and old." Amen.
Let's have a word of prayer this morning. Father God, thank you for your love. I ask that you touch my lips this morning and let them only speak your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever looked at the Bible and thought about it and said, well, there's an Old Testament and there's a New Testament. Which one do I pay more attention to? Do I look at the Old? Do I look at the New? Which is more important? You've never thought that? I've got people saying the Old's more important. I hear that. So which is more important? Okay. Well, how about if I study one over the other? Which one do I give more weight? I can't study one without the other, can I? You know, neither is more important. They're equally important. You can't take the old without the new. You can't take the new without the old. In fact, there are some churches, entire belief systems, that don't want anything to do with the New Testament. Oh, we don't believe in that. More that do the other way. We don't believe in the Old Testament. We're just going to believe the New. They both happen. Both churches, and I'm not going to name them, but they will ascribe to the Old Testament or to the New Testament and exclude the other one. Those don't really have the full picture. Neither one. Today, we're going to look at two different parables. The first one, we're going to hit some highlights because it's very, very similar to another parable we've already talked about. And then we're going to get into a new parable, which, to be perfectly honest, when I first read the parable, I was like, where's the parable? I didn't see it. And as I studied it, became abundantly clear. So let's start in the book of Matthew chapter 13 with verse 47. And it reads, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet, which was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind." Now, what's a dragnet? Do you know what it's a fishing net. A lot of times they'll have weights on the bottom for dragging the bottom of the pond, stream. Sometimes they're the ones that can be thrown from the shore. They land and you drag it in. Either way, that's all, they're all types of dragnets. And what does a dragnet catch? It'll catch anything that gets trapped in it, right? So it lands it and it drags in some of every kind. So take your pick of whatever fish it landed on, it drags it in. Verse 48, which when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. Now, we realize from the text there that they didn't have a little catch. Sometimes you might throw it out and you'll catch a boot and a fish. Not this case. They had a big catch. It was a full net. Who's the fisherman? Christ. Very good. Who are the fish? We are. Very good. Good and bad. So he caught the shark and the tuna. You can eat one, you shouldn't eat the other. And you know, it's not just us that are fish. It's everybody in the world are fish. And once they get it drug in, they begin the process of sorting. Now, do we do the sorting? We can't do the sorting. Verse 49. No, it doesn't tell us here. Yeah, it does. Verse 49. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just. So it's not us. We don't do the sorting. In fact, we can't. Very much like the tares, the wheat and tares, and this is its sister parable here, is if we were to uproot the tares from amongst us, we could take out some of the healthy wheat. We could knock, if we're weeding each other out, we could knock somebody who's healthy out. That's right. We don't have the knowledge of where each other are, do we? We're not qualified to differentiate good fish, bad fish. Now, with study, as we study fish, we know that, well, that one has the fins and scales and that one doesn't. But the angels know. Toss them, put them in a pot, or put them in the fire. Separate the wicked from among the just, end of verse 49. And cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. The wicked will be cast into the furnace, and there will be a great cry as they realize their folly. They realize there's no hope. Same thing that happens with the tares in the end of time. And again, the angels do the sorting, not us. Jesus then asked the disciples in verse 51, have you understood all of these things? Now, what is he speaking of? What are all these things? Well, let's look back through chapter 13. And if you've got a Bible that has any headings, you'll notice the parable of the sower, the purpose of the parable of the sower explained, the wheat and the tares, the parable of the mustard seed, the parable of leaven, the parable of the tares explained, the parable of hidden treasure, the parable of the pearl of great price. So he's asking the disciples, do you understand all of the parables? And they said to him, yes, Lord. Now, They answered yes to a lot of things that they didn't really understand. And we know they didn't understand all of them because if we look back at verse 36, the disciples came up to Jesus and said, "Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field." So they didn't understand it until he explained it. So they said, "Sure, of course we understand." Probably Peter that said that, to be perfectly honest. And then we get to verse 52, which was our scripture. And again, as I read this initially, I said, "Where's the parable?" "Therefore," he said to them, "therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things old and new." Now, as you look at that text and you see the word scribe, I'm thinking, okay, time period. A scribe is somebody that studies the word, does a lot of writing. That's the incorrect imagery. Because Jesus here is not talking about the scribes and the Pharisees. It says, "Therefore, every scribe," the scribes were teachers. They did a lot of the teaching. "Every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven." Now, what is your imagery? It's not the scribes and the Pharisees. Who is it? Not exactly. He's talking to who? The disciples. And therefore, since he's talking to the disciples here, who's he talking to now? Us. We are the scribes. We've been instructed in the kingdom of heaven. Now we have a proper perspective, don't we? That was a perfect children's story. Didn't know it, but perfect. Because we see the scribes here, but it's not them. It's us. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a householder." Now, who owns a house? Several people own a house. I don't. Don't have plans to at this point. But if you own a house, you've got things that are old, that have been there for a really long time, especially if you've lived in the house for a long time, and things that you got yesterday or last week. Things old and things new. And if someone comes to see your house, you might show them some old things. You might show them some new things. Now, what are the old and the new? What is Christ really talking about here? Truths we've known for a long time, truths we've recently discovered. Yes. He specifically is talking about that, as well as, from sitting in his perspective, the old things, the law, the things we've been taught for many, 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 many years. And the new being the things he has added to it. As we sit today, the Old Testament and the New Testament. So, which is more important? Jesus specifically says they bring out treasure in the old and the new. Yes. It's a great question. Why does he put new and old? Maybe because he was in the new. The new was there. You have a thought there? There, I did not dig that out. But that may be. Okay, may have something to do with the new covenant. Which, if you look at the new covenant, as she's saying here, it's very similar to the old covenant. It really just reiterates it. As we sit, as I was reading this parable, about this parable in the book Christ Object Lessons, she brought out some really interesting quotes that I want to share. And there's actually a paragraph that I want to read, because I can't say it better than Ellen White did. The couple of quotes that she said, "The law, which is the Old Testament, is the gospel embodied. The gospel is the law unfolded." Is that not a beautiful image? "And the law is the root. The gospel is the fragrant blossom and fruit which it bears." Jesus, we obviously don't have his story in the Old Testament, but his prophecies, the prophecies about Jesus and what he's going to do, what he does for us, are all through the Old Testament. We know, if we were to truly study, we could have known before he ever got here what was going to happen. Because it tells us. Isaiah specifically breaks down exactly what's going to happen. And there's, throughout the Old Testament, there are prophecies of Christ. Also from Christ Object Lessons, "The truth as it is in Jesus can be experienced but never explained." We can't explain Christ. We can't explain what it does. We can't explain what he does for us. We can experience it. And when someone asks, "Well, how does that work?" Well, I can't tell you how it works. I can tell you what he's done for me. And that is the best thing we can do, is tell our experience with Christ. And our experience grows by studying, getting to know Christ through the Old Testament and the New Testament. If you were to study one testament without the other, as some churches do, you would have a very dull spiritual life, because you don't have the full picture. If you study the Old Testament, you know what Christ is going to do, but you don't ever think he did it. And if you study the New Testament without the Old Testament, you have no history. You don't know where you came from. You don't know the background. You just have these Israelites that are there and the Romans that are there. You don't know how or why or anything. You've got no perspective. Prophecy of the Old Testament directs us to the New Testament, and beyond. Christ Object Lessons, page 129. The third paragraph. It's talking about our life with Christ. Our life is to be bound up with the life of Christ. We are to draw constantly from Him, partaking of Him, the living bread that came down from heaven, drawing from a fountain ever fresh, ever giving forth its abundant treasures. If, is your spiritual life dull? Are you keeping Christ in front of you? If you are, it shouldn't be. If we keep the Lord ever before us, allowing our hearts to go out in thanksgiving and praise to Him, we shall have a continual freshness in our religious life. Our prayers will take the form of a conversation with God as we would walk with a friend. He will speak His mysteries to us personally. Often there will come to us a sweet, joyful sense of the presence of Jesus. Often our hearts will burn within us as He draws nigh to commune with us, as He did with Enoch. When this is in truth the experience of the Christian, there is seen in his life a simplicity of humility, meekness, and lowliness of heart that show to all with whom he associates, or she, that he has been with Jesus and learned from him. Do you study his word, Old and New Testament? Do you eat it all? Do you commune with Jesus? Not weekly, not every other day, daily. If you do, God bless you. If you don't, it will change your world. Spiritual life, normal, regular life, non-spiritual life, will no longer be dull if you commune with Christ. It can't be, because He will change every aspect of your life. Now, if you're scared of change, you might as well stop now. But if you want to follow Christ, enjoy your meals. Eat His word. Let it wash over you. Let it change you. Not the Old Testament over the New Testament. Not the New Testament over the Old Testament. Equally devour it. And Christ will change you. Let's bow our heads. Father God, I thank You for Your word this morning. I thank You for giving us both sections of the Bible. Give us the history, the beginning, but also Your Son and His gift of salvation that has been given to each of us. Father, please guide our lives to study, to get to know You day by day, moment by moment. Father, bless us now as we depart. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing hymn is Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Number 469. And as we study and get to know Christ, we will lean more and more and more on those arms. Let's bow our heads. Father God, as we lean on your arms, help us walk closer and closer to you. Father, go with us now as we enjoy this beautiful Sabbath day. Bless us this Sabbath. And as we strive to get closer and closer to you, in Jesus' name, amen.